The snowfall melted across the Skyliner courtyard, bustling with pervading sound of people. Robin stood across the street at the park in her borrowed dress from Madame Mosel, with her hair braided back into a bun, anxious and terrified. She took a calming breath and walked across the street, trying to keep her focus on what Madame Mosel had told her. Honesty was key. Only Robin couldn't very well tell the interviewer her real intentions. No one would believe her, even if she told them. Robin approached the main lobby doors to see the door guard watching everyone as they entered. He smiled at Robin, obviously unable to recognize her with her new brown hair and clean appearance. Robin smiled back politely, allowing him to hold the door open for her. She thanked him and entered into the Skyliner lobby, feeling the chill from outside sink into her skin. Her nerves were numb by the cold and shocking sight of the long line of people ahead of her. She felt helpless at the daunting sight. Hundreds of people had shown up for the walk-in interviews, all snaking their way around the main lobby. "You here for the interview?" asked a woman, holding a personal tablet in her hand. Robin nodded nervously. "The wait right now is about 2 to 3 hours, but feel free to join the line and we'll get to you as soon as we can," said the woman with a helpful smile. "Thanks," Robin replied softly. There is a delight in the hardy life of the open. There are no words that can tell the hidden spirit of the wilderness that can reveal its mystery, its melancholy, and its charm. The nation behaves well if it treats the national resources as assets which it must turn over to the next generation increased and not impaired in value. President Theodore Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt was one of the most powerful voices in the history of American conservation. Enthralled by nature from a young age, Roosevelt cherished and promoted our nation's landscapes and wildlife. After becoming president in 1901, Roosevelt established 150 national forests, 51 federal bird reserves, 4 national game preserves, 5 national parks, and 18 national monuments on over 230 million acres of public land. Despite being the first president born in New York City, Theodore Roosevelt's interest in nature and the outdoors began at an early age. Roosevelt was bookish and sickly as a child, but he quickly developed his passions. His favorite activities included hiking, rowing, swimming, riding, bird watching, hunting, and taxidermy. Creating a vast collection of specimens, he filled his boyhood home and estate in adulthood with insect collections and mounted animals. Some are on display today at the Smithsonian. "I am the honorary president of the American Humanist Association, whose headquarters in Amherst, New York, I have never seen. I succeeded the late author and biochemist Dr. Isaac Asimov in that functionless capacity. That we have an organization, a boring business, is to let others know we are numerous. We would prefer to live our lives as humanists and not talk about it, or think more about it than we think about breathing. Humanists try to behave decently and honorably without any expectation of rewards or punishments in an afterlife. The creator of the universe has been to us unknowable so far. We serve as well as we can the highest abstraction of which we have some understanding, which is our community. Are we enemies of members of organized religions? No. My great war buddy, Bernard V. O'Hare, now dead, lost his faith as a Roman Catholic during World War II. I didn't like that. I thought that was too much to lose. I had never had faith like that, because I had been raised by interesting and moral people who, like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, were nonetheless skeptics about what preachers said was going on. But I knew Bernie had lost something important and honorable. Again, I did not like that. Did not like it because I liked him so much.